Welcome to another Astros podcast.
This is Steve Sparks back with Astro Lunch, and I have Marwin Gonzalez here today. Long game yesterday, 5 hours. A shame you guys couldn't win that game, but there was a lot of good efforts offensively and defensively for you guys yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We did everything we could. Colby hit the homer in the night to keep us in the game. We fouled after that, but we couldn't get the result. We couldn't get the W, but we left it all on the field last night.
One of the best games defensively I've seen at third base last night from you. Some great plays. Rank those plays in the third inning. Dustin Pedroia at the plate hits one down the line. You backhanded it, and it seemed like they got better and better throughout the game. But tell me about the play on Pedroia.
Oh, I feel like I have to make a play. We were in a bad situation. Losing already 5-1, and it was running on third. I was playing 6-4. I was like kind of far away from the line.
Pedroia ready for a 1-1. Curveball hit sharply, backhanded by Gonzalez on a bent leg slide. Throw to first on one hop, and it's in time for the out to finally end the inning.
I was lucky enough to make a good throw, and Whitey helped me out picking the ball.
And then in the sixth inning, I believe, Xander Bogaerts came up, and he hit a rifle down. Another backhand play by you. Tell me about what you were thinking there.
Well, I think that was the hard one.
3-2. Fastball bounce left side, backhanded by Gonzalez. He spins, gathers himself, throws the first, and it is just in time to get Bogaerts. Oh, what a play by Gonzalez. Hot shot to his right, backhanded, spun all the way around, and just got it to first to beat a fast runner.
Well, that was borderline ridiculous, being able to come up with that ball to his backhand.
It was pretty well hit, and I just decided to go back because I didn't have anything else to do at the moment. And, well, I was impressed after I made the play. It was a really tough one. I think that was the hardest one.
And that ended an inning, so that's fun to come into the dugout when you make a great play like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially if we help in the pitchers all the time.
Now a little bit slower runner, but Ryan Hannigan, the catcher, hit a bullet down the third baseline later on.
Play kick and the pitch. Ground ball up the third baseline. Sliding stop by Gonzalez. Gets up from his knees. Two-hop throw to first. And it's in time to get Hannigan. Gonzalez was in foul territory. Sliding on his knees. Popped up and able to get the out.
It was a do-or-die throw, and you decided to throw it lower, keep it bouncing over to Tyler White at first base. But remarkable play there as well.
Well, I just throw the ball because I know who was running. But I didn't try to throw that low. I just was out of balance. But I decided to throw anyway because I know who was running.
Last thing with Marwin Gonzalez. Marwin, coming off of a tough loss, it's easy to probably dwell on those things, but you can't. I mean, you're playing teams in your division now. This road trip seems pretty important right here.
I mean, like every day is important for us, especially in the moment that we live in right now. Sure. It's a bad and good moment. So I think like it's the same thing if you start really good and then you go through a slump like during the season. Yeah. I mean, like May or June. So just thinking positive, this is going to be our bad moment where we live right now, and like good things are coming. So let's start from today. Yeah, and then try to get like go game by game.
Here we go. That's Marwin Gonzalez. Marwin, thanks for catching up.
You're welcome.
Visit astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at astros.com/radio.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Colby Rasp named the American League Player of the Week. It's all Astros for AL Player of the Week thus far. You've had a winner in each of the first 3 weeks of the season, and just good to see Colby get recognized for what he's been doing.
It is. It's been nice to have three different guys, you know, come up with really big weeks, and to get recognized like that within the peer group of Major League Baseball is really awesome. So I'm proud of these guys. Obviously, I want to take advantage of that a little bit more and get a few more wins with the good performance, but well-deserved recognition for the three guys that have gotten the award.
Yeah, as you mentioned, obviously you would think the record would be a little better based on the three straight Player of the Weeks, but it also kind of gives you an idea of the potential of this team and what could lie ahead.
Yeah, it shows. I mean, we have, once we put it all together, we have a dynamic team. I know it hasn't felt that way in the first 3 weeks, but we haven't forgotten how good we can be. It's 3 weeks to blip on the radar. We do need to start playing more winning baseball and getting on the right column again. But we have the talent to do it. We have the demeanor to do it. We just need the production.
Jake Mariznick option to make room for Michael Feliz. And obviously you had to do something using your bullpen the way you did. And then Chris Devensky, who's been your long man, getting extended innings in yesterday's game.
Yeah, our starting pitchers have not gone deep into games, and that's created some stress on our bullpen. And we've used these guys a ton. And Devensky's really picked us up in the middle innings, having thrown, I think, five or six innings in the last couple days. He's going to need a couple days off. And so we need to get Michael Feliz up here. Another guy who has some length. He had a 100-pitch, you know, relief outing in New York. Yeah. He's got plenty of length. We've got our options set up to hopefully pull out some more wins.
And Jake Mariznick, I mean, just kind of a tough go for him. I mean, a guy who's expected to be a key part of this team and still has a chance to do that. But, you know, you're in a position, you didn't see a whole lot of left-handed pitching so far this year, and that's limited his playing time as well.
Yeah, it's tough to send a guy down who doesn't deserve to be in AAA. You know, Jake can help us win, and he's a big part of our personality here. He has a lot of skills. He hasn't gotten a lot of opportunity based on how our roster is constructed, but he'll be back in time, and he'll go down and get a few at-bats for at least 10 days and see if we can get him back up here right away.
You know, throughout the season so far, getting hits with runners in scoring position has been an issue for the Astros, and got a couple of big hits with runners in scoring position last night in Seattle with Gomez, the RBI single early, Carlos Correa, RBI single in the eighth inning, but it was like you needed one or two more to get that win.
Yeah, we've been in the mode of doing just enough to not get enough, you know, and I think our guys, you know, we did come through a little bit better last night. I thought our bats were okay in general, but again, in these close games, it's, you know, you look back at some of the at bats with runner on second and third, and you look at some at bats late in the game that they did a better job of getting the outs than we did, and ultimately, you know, we're close, and it's difficult to lose some of these close games, but you know, to win a big league game. That in the games that are these close, we got to do the little things better.
And you talk about, you know, the little things, and you look at Taijuan Walker's outing, and you had some opportunities against him early, and then once he got locked in, he was pretty much unhittable the last couple innings or so.
Yeah, he was, and he was electrifying at the end, you know, when he punched out six in a row, and very, very difficult to pick up. When he gets that fastball and his split, he's still in the upper 90s. He's got his split. It's close to 90 miles an hour. He can be an intimidating force, and we saw his best last night when he really got hot at the end and started to execute his pitches. So tough challenge for us. I thought Pfister did a good job of matching him for the most part. You know, and we'll run into another good pitcher tonight in Carnes. But that's the nature of this league. We got to beat the good ones if we're going to be what we want to be.
Kind of a weird outing for Pfister, as you mentioned, pitched pretty well, giving up the three runs in six innings, but seven walks, really atypical, especially for him. He's a guy who generally doesn't walk very many.
Yeah, it was odd for him. And, you know, he was around the zone. It wasn't as if he was, you know, ridiculously wild. Right. It was just he didn't execute enough pitches with you know, in a full count. He usually attacks his zone. He doesn't really mess around, and he works fast, and it's usually a ball in play. But he pitched around most of them. There was one walk, where he did it right before Cano got the base hit to extend their lead. And, you know, that ultimately will come back to haunt him with the two solo homers. But all in all, he did a good job of keeping us in the game for as long as he could.
Evan Gattis, back-to-back multi-hit games for the Astros after two hits yesterday. And starting to look like maybe he's getting into his season now, getting his timing where it needs to be after starting the year on the DL.
Yeah, he's doing better. You know, and getting a couple base hits the other way will do wonders for your psyche and do wonders for your confidence, so you can let the ball travel. And there's not a panic approach to him. So if we can get him hot, Gomez is starting to swing the bat a little bit better, and you know, we can start to stretch our lineup a little bit to where we can score from any area. I think we can start to play from ahead.
Now, Tyler White, four starts into his big league career, was batting in the fifth spot with the great start that he got off to. He's been scuffling of late, moves down to the sixth spot. Tucker, the DH spot, moving into the fifth spot. So you have back-to-back lefties with Rasmus and Tucker in the 4-5 spots. What led to that change in the lineup?
Really pro Tucker. You know, he's been such a productive hitter in spurts when he's gotten his starts. You know, he hasn't gotten a ton of at-bats in recent days, but you know, I want to put a couple of very dangerous left-handed hitters up against Carnes. He's got a really good breaking ball. After we get the run of Altuve and Springer and Correa, to have those two big left-handed bats there for Carnes to deal with and is something very important. And then also bridging into the late games. You know, they don't use their lefties as matchup lefties as much as they use their right-handed side of their bullpen. So we'll give Whitey the six hole today, and hopefully a change of scenery for him will get him kick-started again.
AJ Hinch, thanks for joining us.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.
Steve Sparks back with AstroLaunch, and I've got the new manager for the Seattle Mariners, Scott Servais. And Scott, I want to ask you first of all, since you were appointed toward the end of October of last year after the season, you had a little bit of time ramping up before spring training. Did that help you?
Oh, no doubt. I think the biggest thing is, you know, we have new front office group came in, new general manager Jerry DePoto, and gave me an opportunity to lead the ball club. But, you know, spent some time kind of revamping our roster and what we wanted to, our team to look like. And takes a lot of time. It's really hard to pull off trades and sign free agents. Mm-hmm. And Jerry did a great job putting our club together. And then when I got on board, I was trying to get the whole deal, get it all mesh. You know, you look at our club, we've got players from six different countries on this club. Wow. So there's the language barrier, there's the culture differences. And I think we've really done a good job of trying to bring it all together. It's early in the season, but our guys are having a good time. They're enjoying spending time with each other and getting to know each other and kind of celebrating the diversity in our clubhouse.
And you brought over a few of the ex-Astros over here, too, yourself being a former Astro a couple of different times. But talk about some of your coaches you brought over here. There's three or four guys that have some Astros ties.
There really is. You know, I started in the Astros minor league system and made my debut in Houston. I had great experiences there. But, you know, when I started out, you know, the group, you know, we just kind of that team was coming together with, you know, Biggio and Bagwell. And, you know, the other guys in that group, Casey Kendall was a part of that, mm-hmm. a big personality in the clubhouse. So I had hired Casey a few years ago when I was back with the Rangers and then brought him over here, obviously, with me in Seattle. Mike Hampton with us in the bullpen. Manny Acta was a former AA teammate of mine when I was coming up with the Astros. So, you know, even Mel Stottlemyre had some time, you know, with the Stros. Pete Harnish is also on our staff, in and out with the big league club. And so it's a strong Houston ties. It's kind of weird playing against the Astros with all of our guys. And but it's been fun. I think, you know, the relationships, the friendships you have with guys oftentimes start when you're young, and we were all young at the same time, kind of getting our feet wet in the big leagues in Houston. So you stay in touch with the guys, and it's an opportunity for bring a lot of us together.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice to be able to trust some guys that you've known for a long time, I'm sure. What's the overall message you wanted to bring to the organization, kind of a blanket philosophy? I mean, you guys obviously got athletic, but how do you want them to play the game?
Well, I think the biggest thing we wanted to show everybody change, different. This seemed to be a different Mariners team than what teams are used to playing against. And like you said, make it more athletic, being able to do things, control the strike zone a little bit better, both at the plate and on the mound. You know, our bullpen has kind of been reworked to what it used to be like, but our guys are throwing the ball well. Again, controlling the strike zone has been the big thing for us. But the biggest thing for me coming in new, never done this before, and, you know, trying to change and change culture in our clubhouse and around our team and organization. And, you know, it's something I've been a part of. I worked with Jerry DePoto in the past, and, you know, we're on the same page as far as what we believe in and how to make that happen. So it's a big challenge, but it's been fun.
But it takes time, doesn't it?
It really does. It does take time, but I think you can't just sit back and wait for it to happen.
Sure.
You have to go out and come up with ideas and be creative on how to bring people together, and that's what we've done.
Scott Service. Scott, it's great seeing you. Welcome to the American League West. We'll catch up with you later.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Spark.
The Houston Astros.
Playing in the mess. Mike Fiers has done it. A no-hitter.
On your radio.
That ball's clobbered. Left field. See ya.
All summer long.
Start spreading the news. The Houston Astros win the AL wildcard game.
The Houston Astros. Radio Network.